Good day, friends. It's good to join your family circle once again. We are glad that you've invited us into your home. And I'm going to suggest before we look at living oracles today, how the Bible can be applied to our life, that we simply go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we are glad to have this opportunity of coming into so many homes, and we trust the hearts of people who listen to the radio broadcast today. We're glad for this opportunity, for this means, Father, through this radio station, and with the brethren standing behind the support of the broadcast, to sound forth the marvelous truth that is able to make all men free, free from sin, free to live for you, Father, and free to eventually go to that eternal home of the soul. We are mindful of those who are sick, and we're mindful of those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We're thankful for the death of Christ upon the cross, who made it possible for us to be made free from sin and to serve you. We pray for the rulers of our nation and nations of the world, and may those nations of the world, including of our own nation, realize truly that thou art God, and the plan that you have given in the Word of God is that which can cause us to have peace with thee. And once that we have gained peace with thee, then we can see more clearly how we should live at peace with our fellow man. Help us now as we enter into the study once again today. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we've been coming to your home now for several times, and we've been sitting down together and talking to you about the Word of God. And we're going to be here today, the Lord willing, and then the next time when we come back, that'll be the last time in this series of broadcasts. The Lord willing, we'll be with you again in that type of study. We've tried to deal with this subject of Christian living under the caption of Living Oracles, simply from the standpoint as though we were sitting down in your home and you were taking your Bible, if you cared to do so, and we're taking ours and we're talking about the Word of God together. You know, we've had an opportunity throughout the years of doing a lot of this type of work, and I believe, as I mentioned, that people seem to get real close to what the teaching has to offer. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not looked upon as being a substitute for church attendance, or it isn't looked upon as being a substitute for studying the Bible in the church building. Some of the greatest lessons we've ever heard or had an opportunity of being a part of were in church buildings. But this is an approach that gives us an opportunity to just sit down together and to talk together, and I hope that you're listening, and I hope you're thinking, and if you have questions, well, of course, you have a right to ask them. In this case, you'll have to send them in, and we'll be glad to deal with them. We're in the final chapter of James, and I think we're going to spend today in this chapter, and then we hope to be back with you, if the Lord wills, to spend another session in the fifth chapter of James. A lot of different things said in this chapter, but in verse 8, I like this expression, "Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now here's a good place in Bible interpretation, Scripture interpretation, to show the importance of the context. You see, we begin there in the 8th verse by saying, "Be ye also patient." Well, the word "also" indicates that something has been said before. So let's go back to verse 7. It begins with the idea of patient, being patient also. For he says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." You see, the point was that these people, because he uses the term therefore, had apparently been living a life that was rather loose. And I have a great fear that sometimes when people make a commitment to the Lord, and especially if they have the conviction that now I'm saved eternally, I can't possibly be lost, that sometimes there's a tendency to fail to place an emphasis upon many things. I find when I talk to people who sometimes believe this, that they don't seem to think that the importance of being at the service of the church is really important because they're saved eternally. They don't seem to think that it's too important that they partake the Lord's Supper the first day of every week, because after all, the Lord's taken care of all their sins and they can't be lost. And this goes on, and in their daily Christian living, they always seem to be able to fall back on the fact, "Well, I've been saved," and they tell people about this, and I believe we ought to tell people about what the Lord has done for us. And I'm not being hypercritical now of people who may believe that way, but I'm simply saying that we can become lax in our living. We can take God for granted. Now, what he's telling us to do here is to be patient. He uses a farmer as an illustration who can do many things to assure that he'll have a good crop. He can prepare the seed bed. He can be sure that he has certified seed. He can take care of the weeds and the things that would come up in the field to try to thwart the crop. There are a lot of things a farmer can do. But he also knows, as the Scripture says here, that he has to be patient. He has to realize if he's going to have precious fruit that he's not going to plant it, his crop out here one day and go out the next morning, you expect to run the combine through it. He can't do that. He's got to be patient. Well, this illustration is used here to show us in verse 8 that we are to be patient. We are to establish our hearts. And what does that mean? Well, that conveys the idea that we've got to be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that David speaks of back in the first Psalm. It puts down its roots. And you know, this is why some people do not really stay for the Lord, is they don't really put down their roots. A lot of times when people think about conversion, they say, well, let's get a lot of people in the church. Well, I like to see the zeal. I like to see determination in trying to convert people. But the point is that you can't put this thing on a quota basis. You've got to put it upon an individual basis. Each soul is precious to God, and we're not encouraging people on this broadcast or in our conversation in your home to delay obeying the gospel. I always try to operate under the principle when I'm talking to someone about the Lord. Now, when you are convinced and you believe this to be true and you recognize it to be a fact, then don't delay the same hour of the night. Don't wait until next Sunday. Don't wait until a preacher comes along. Obey the gospel. There are people who can certainly hear your confession of faith, knowing that you believe that Christ is the Son of God and baptize you into Christ. The brethren are willing to do this. And the congregation that brings you this broadcast, there are a number of brethren who'd be willing to immerse you into Christ. So we're not telling people to drag their feet spiritually, but we're also telling them to recognize the fact that you've got to weigh this situation. I think one of the difficult things many times in religion is we get this physical side mixed up with the spiritual, or the spiritual side mixed up with the physical, vice versa. What I mean is some people think that religion is valid if people make a lot of noise. Now, I believe we ought to be joyful. I'm certain the Bible conveys the idea that we ought to express the joy that we have in serving the Lord, so we're not telling people to diminish their joy. But simply thinking that a service is acceptable or our obedience to the gospel is acceptable because of a lot of physical emotion. I've had people tell me, and I'm not making light now and using this illustration, people who felt that a service wasn't even religious unless people were jumping up and down and all talking at the same time. And one lady said, well, you'll never have a service unless somebody's rolled on the floor. Well, this is extreme, I'm sure. And I'm not making light of her because I believe she was a sincere person. But what I'm saying is when he tells us to be patient and when he tells us to establish our hearts, think this thing through conclusively. The religion of Jesus Christ is something that is to be with us. It's something that begins on the inside and works its way out. And it can't be interpreted by merely some physical expression. Joy in our heart and joy in our life may be manifested, but to think that a thing is not spiritual, a life is not religious, a life is not what God wants it to be, unless there's a lot of physical emotion, is of course taking this beyond the bounds of what I would understand the Word of God to teach, and I warn against that. But now notice what he's saying here. He said, you keep in mind that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus in his life, I believe, must have gone through this life with the idea of whatever faces me, I'm going to do the will of my Father. He had this ingrained in his mind. And we try to instill this teaching in the minds of people who are older, in the minds of people who are younger, that we must be faithful unto death. We must take into our life the teaching of God's Word and let it actually lead us to Christ Jesus. So I'm saying to you as we talk to you in your home today, let's say you're not a Christian. Now, I want to see you obey the gospel. But I want to tell you one thing. The decision is going to have to be made by you. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, you see, he offered an invitation. He was ready. God's ready today. You see, you may not be ready, but here's the point. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't drag your feet on this, but think about the thing. Turn it over in your mind. And then when you realize that this is the truth, then do that. Obey it. Obey it from your heart, that form of doctrine, being made free from sin. And then start this Christian life and let patience, which implies endurance, be definitely a part of your life. So there are things sometimes that do not happen overnight in the Christian life. You know, I've studied the Bible with a lot of people, and I thought, well, now, surely this person understands the Bible, and he or she ought to be a Christian. And sometimes I get a little over-anxious about that. I want to see him one to the Lord. Well, this is a good attitude probably to have, but you've got to realize that the person has to be convinced in his own mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, someone says, what if you just baptize him and turn him loose? Well, you see, that's a mistaken idea, too. We don't just bring our children into the world and then turn them loose. And God is the kind of Father who wants to feed us with the Word. He wants our growth to be consistent. He wants it to be that which will be steadfast. He wants to be that which will be well-grounded. So if you are a Christian this morning, keep putting those roots down, and like the tree, keep growing closer to God all the time. Well, there's a lot in that verse, and we just scratched the surface. Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, as we say, and even more so, the Lord is sometime going to come. Let's be prepared to meet him. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ stand ready to help you if we can. Maybe you want to study the Bible in your home. Let them know. Drop a card or a letter to the congregation that brings you this broadcast, or better still, why not be there in the assembly? Tell a friend and neighbor about our study and be with us next time as we'll come to your home the last time, the Lord willing, in this series of Living Oracles.